Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbe, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Hey, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbe. And it's that time of the evening that we have to look at bread, butter, and everything that affects what we do, especially when you speak about the market. We are greeting you from a number one favorite talk radio station. We are greeting the economic movers, the policy makers, the policy analyst, economist, and everything, every person who is an environmental enthusiast and somebody who wish what is good for Namibia, and somebody who is doing his or her best to make sure that Namibia is not only a country to be on the survival mode, but a country that has bigger goals to achieve, a country that have an economy to build, country that have a nation and young people in particular to give opportunity, and a country which is not only good with the resources, but with ability, and also with a game plan on how to solve challenges of every day. Challenges that we have been with for the past 36 years, and everything that is connected to the economy. We are greeting you. We understand some of you, you are on your way back home. Some of you, you are already having a cold drink after a very long day, and it has been a very busy week, internal, regional, and also internationally, especially looking at what is happening in the Middle East and also how it's affecting our development. However, today, it's not me who is going to speak. We are going to be listening to the sons and daughters of Africa, especially those with great achievement, those with great mind. You know, in a situation where you want to move away from political statement, you want to move away from, ordinary communication, you also need to look at African intellectuals, African thinkers, and also African corporate chiefs and drivers of institutions. That's why when you want to get some perspective, apart from speaking of good wishes, be able to look at the statistics and numbers, and also where we are standing, and it's giving us a little bit of a relief, especially when you listen to the Director General. The Director General of World Trade Organization, that is a woman from Nigeria, Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, especially when she is giving a communication or a comment regarding the war in Iran, and also to say Africa, we may be the safest continent to be, as we are speaking now, we may be the safest continent to be. And you'll also be able to listen from just a short clip from Joshua Maponga, one of, it's rare to have philosophers and thinkers these days, especially in Africa, because I remember in the class of African philosophies, you know, people, they have to debate, and who is really an African philosopher, who is really a thinker and the co-creator of knowledge, and how many of Africans actually contributed to the knowledge and books that we are reading. But in our current moment in time, apart from a few professors that you see, you know, you can be a professor and you are not a philosopher. But, Joshua Maponga is one of the few intellectuals of our time who does not only speak truth to power, but is also an honest individual who look at history, look at philosophy, look at religions, and also look at the current moments, especially giving advice. You know, it's very difficult to find out the truth about the truth, and it's also very difficult also to point out the truth. Depends on the moment that you are finding yourself. There is a saying to say, knowing the truth is one thing, knowing when to speak it out is the other thing, because sometimes the truth can come out as an insult, can really come out as an insult, especially depends on, you know, where you are. But framing it the way that it will be able to be understood. But it's at the current moment where diplomacy, particularly if you are making an internal self-assessment, if you are at home and you are making an internal self-assessment to say, guys, we need to up our game, or what we have been doing there when the guests are there is not good. There is no need for diplomacy when you are cancelling, you know, your internal affairs. That is where you need brutal truth so that you can play out in the world that is so competitive, that is so brutal now, and that is so dangerous to be, especially in places that used to be seen as heaven on earth. You know, if I have to take you just 2 months ago, if I have to take you to a place such as Dubai, such as Oman, such as Qatar, people were willing to pay anything. People were willing to do anything. In fact, people did anything to get to those places. But currently, as we are speaking, people are doing anything to get out of those places, because things can change. But the motherland of Africa, where are we? And what are the sons and daughters of Africa are saying about, not only about the war, but also about where we have to go, especially moving forward? Because believe me, the world is not going to end. It has never ended. It may be catastrophic, but the nature of life is that there is always a survivor of tomorrow that will be able to live and tell the story. But in the current complicated world, particularly where the big players are fighting, where Iran is also now dominating the conversation to say, I do not want to come to the negotiation table, because every time I finish negotiation table, you bomb me. And all those things, it's quite necessary to listen to the sons and daughters of Africa, particularly those who read, particularly those who have experience, and those who understand where things are coming from, and also where things are going. Just before we look at WTO communication regarding what is happening, and also to get a bit of a relief after Dr. Ngozi, we'll be able to listen to Joshua Maponga. But one thing which interests me is that Joshua Maponga also has our president in mind. That is Dr. Netumbo Ndaitwa, not in bad faith, but actually in good faith. And when you see that you come from the mouth of Joshua Maponga, you must really mean a lot. And when Joshua Maponga is talking about Mama Nandi, speaking about our president, and also speaking about if Africa can come together to understand who has uranium here, who has resources here, then we'll be able to move forward. But just beforehand, what's happening in South Africa, apart from ongoing investigation and also ongoing parliamentary committee investigation on infiltration of police and justice system, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa, I don't know now if it's the president, but South Africa have just deployed the defense force, especially to fight crimes. South Africa just deploy the army to help assisting, fighting of crimes and also illegal mining. Because when you look at gangs in South Africa, they are not only fully armed, they are well equipped. These guys have drones, they have bulletproofs, and they have more than weapon. If you go there with your AK-47, which was never polished for the last 2 months, you will come out, in a bad shape. That's why to fight crime in South Africa, they have deployed the army. And if you look at South Africa, have a lot of institutions and agency. You have the Hawks. You have serious crime unit. You have I don't know about Scorpion now. You have TRT. You have the Red Barrett. But seems like the various division within the police are not able to fight crimes. Now they deploy the big guys. They deploy the guys the army has to deal with those illegal mines. And, you know, there's always a question to say, what is the technicality of fighting crimes when you want to solve the crime situation? Do you give induction training to military officials, or they are just going to shoot people there? Then it becomes worse. And because those guys, the training is to shoot the enemy. When they are going to the field, they don't go there with handcuffs. They go there with guns and bombs. I don't know how it's going to be done, but maybe if it's well coordinated, to be able to suppress crimes in South Africa, because crimes in South Africa become a profitable initiative to some and also a dangerous initiative to some. Because if you have a record of 60 people dying every day, not dying of diseases, being killed in South Africa every day, then you must be able to understand that it could be a right decision, especially looking into that context. And let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to look at the communication from Dr. Gozi Okonjo-Iweala. It's a well-known international development economist, PhD holder, who at one point was the Minister of Finance in Nigeria. And he worked for international institutions and has been with World Bank and also WTO. And I work with several institutions, and I trust her content and contribution. But I also have questions regarding her championing WTO. She has been really very good at statistics and giving numbers. But really, what did WTO? What did that international trade or the trade referee have done, especially when it comes to the trade of Africa, especially when it comes to Africa? But she's not only there for Africa also. She's there for almost everybody in the world. But what is the role of a trade referee when it comes to tariffs and all those challenges? But let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to listen to the sons and daughters of Africa, particularly intellectuals and well-known figures. When they speak about the economy, they also speak about Africa. Maybe that the only last hope and opportunity for the world. To say, when people are bombing each other, you use your potential. When people are bombing each other, stop corruption. When people are bombing each other, please arrange yourself and do what you say. Capitalize on your young people so that we will get somewhere. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to continue the conversation.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva tere urikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Unongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Business and Economic Segment. Let us listen to Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. The Director General of World Trade Organization, the African, I don't want to say it's an African kid, but it's an African by birth. And let's see what she has to say, especially when interviewed regarding the future of Africa, particularly looking at trade and also the impact of war. Because even taxi drivers are saying if you increase the price of oil, we're also going to increase the price of taxi fee, because that is not how we got down. But yeah, look at this and move forward.
Africa has the good luck that it is not dependent too much on the US or China at this moment. 6% of Africa's exports go to the US and 4% of our imports come from there. So we don't have any fear of being dependent. Actually, it's the other. But I think the question we have for Africa is, how do we integrate more? We are not well integrated now. On the one hand, that's a good thing, because all the tariff wars that have been going on have not impacted Africa as much. But it's also bad news, because our trade with the rest of the world, with the US, with China, is not as much as we would like. We need to change the story on the continent. We need to present ourselves as the market we are. Here is Africa's biggest asset. Africa is 1.4 billion people. It's one of the biggest markets in the world. 800 million people, by 2050 will be middle class. So Africa is a big market now. It will be a bigger market in the future. Africa has the good luck that it... Africa is the story on the continent. We need to present ourselves as the market we are. Here is Africa's biggest asset. Africa is 1.4 billion people. It's one of the biggest markets in the world. 800 million people, by 2050 will be middle class. So Africa is a big market now. It will be a bigger market in the future. Africa has...
Yeah, the biggest market in the world by 2050 will be middle class. And where would Namibia be if we were middle class last year? Then we are downgraded because we are not performing. We are going to be, we're still going to be middle class, or we are going to be the first world, are going to be advanced. But there is still a lot of positivity and positive posture, especially when it comes to the future of Africa. But one of the things that has been stated, especially by Dr. Ngozi, is the aspect of we are doing less on integration. And I'm always asking, especially the champion of African Continental Free Trade Area, to say, if we are really ambitious about it, have we looked at the factors that need to be done, especially the factors that are contributing to the acceleration of implementation of African Continental Free Trade Area, such as signing with Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, where our Bank of Namibia still have to do that, such as preparing the infant industry for the bigger market. And if you don't have a Namibian company which can compete internationally, when are we going to have a Namibian company which is competing maybe regionally? Or before we speak about continentally, let's look at Express Credit. Then we move forward, especially listening to the sons and daughters of Africa and also the future.
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes past the hour of 6. We have enough good 30 minutes before we give the mic to my team. And as I was indicating, especially with the communication from Dr. Ngozi, she indicated that we should not be worrying about the war in Iran, because we less depend on the world. It's just an illusion. But I also start believing it somewhere, somehow, because when you look at the tariffs, you realize to say, this way the push and pull, when you realize to say, who was really depend on each other? Who was really depend on who? I see, and I was really not happy with what that Ruto has done. He was saying, no. Please, I'm going to US. We are going to speak with the Trump so that we are not going to lose the market of textile because of this AGOA and all those things. But you understand that even if the imposition, because we were also scared, you know, sometimes prediction can also be scary. We're so scared to say, even if South Africa introduced a trade desk to make sure that all the bigger companies that were trading with the U.S., if they are not able to survive those tariffs, they can move to other market. We're also scared to say South Africa was not able to do that. But within a month, things become so stable and it's like nothing really happened. But the content of the matter is that what are you doing when others are fighting? What are you doing when others are fighting? Are you still going to be there to beg? And one interesting thing which was done by the president of Botswana, you know, some people are just born bold. And it's also a sentiment to say he was invited by the White House to go and speak about certain deals on mining. Then he said a buyer should come to a seller. But it's really making sense, because why can't the U.S. president come to Africa, really? Does even he know how Africa looks like? Because he was never in Africa, as far as I know, from looking at his presidency. Although there is a lot of envoys which come and go. He was never in Africa. Maybe when he was a business person, that one I don't know. But Duma Boko say, no. You want to do deals with me, come to my country. Then it's ended there. I don't know how they are going to handle it. But yeah, that is the communication. I want you to listen to Joshua Maponga. You already know him, how he presents things. But he was commenting on Iran and Israel war. You don't know how to call that. Is it Iran and Israel war? Is it a regional war? Is it an attack? Or is it bombing of each other? Is it... You just do not know. Is it an operation? Is it the self-defense and all those? But he was commenting on that, and you'll be able to look at his content, because the good thing about Joshua Maponga is that he presented the fact on the table. It depends on how you're going to swallow it. And he's an honest person, and I think being old enough, it's easy for you to put out facts out there, because you don't reserve. And he was really speaking, especially what Africans need to do, to say, what do you need to focus on? And that is his perspective regarding what is happening, particularly in the Middle East. And for us also to learn, to say, what do you need to do when a situation gets tough? Because, you know, I think with also an aspect of colonialism, we have suffered so much. To that extent, even if a colonizer just fell a little bit, we are also crying. And I have seen there's a certain certain slave movie which was played by Jamie Foxx. I cannot remember the name really well, but there was this certain guy who was so enslaved so much to that extent that when slaves start revolting, he was on the side of a slave master. Even when the slave master died in that accident, he was crying so much, even forget his family. Then you realize to say, why can't I focus on my interest without disrespecting another person? Because we have suffered so much. But Africans, we don't want to learn. So maybe it's a decoloniality of mind. Maybe it's a decoloniality of the mind. Maybe it's a decoloniality of being. Maybe it's a decoloniality of power. But let us look at Joshua Maponga, especially when he has to comment on this aspect.
Africans, African, when your enemies are at war, don't join them. Europe is fighting Europe. America is fighting Europe. Europe is fighting China. China is fighting Arabs. Arabs are fighting America. America is fighting Russians. Africa is out of the picture. Stay away from war. My advice for Africa today, start planting food. Start planting food. Start planting food. When they finish war, they will all be hungry. You will reinstate yourself as a breadbasket of the world. Here's the proverb, like an old man. When your enemy wants to burn his father's house, please give him the matchstick.
Okay.
If they can leave us, we call Traore, we call Mama Nandi, we call the presidents of Africa, call a Boss Barat meeting. Gentlemen, we are here. Who has uranium? Who has coal? Who has chrome? What can we do with everything that we have? What machineries do we need? What railways do we need? Corridors. We can trade amongst ourselves. Business. But if we cut the world off, Europe will stop. The industrialization of America will stop overnight. China will shut down. Middle East will shut down. Europe will shut down. They will. They destroyed Ukraine. They destroyed Ukraine. They're in war with Russia. There's no food in Europe. The only benefit they have is Netherlands. Netherlands cannot feed the whole of Europe. They have to bank on Israel. Israel is at war right now. They can't plant. And again, while we are on that, this particular piece, you must cut it. I want to say it very nicely. Africans, African, when your enemies are at war, don't join them. Europe is fighting Europe. America is fighting Europe. Europe is fighting China. China is fighting Arabs. Arabs are fighting America. America is fighting Russians. Africa is out of the picture. Stay away from war. My advice for Africa today, start planting food. Start planting food. Start planting food. When they finish war, they will all be hungry. You will reinstate yourself as a breadbasket of the world. Here's the proverb, like an old man. When your enemy wants to burn his father's house, please give him the matchstick. You get it?
I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it.
We need right now, this year, particularly this year, I wish I could speak to all the African presidents and say, focus on agriculture extensively. Because what you are seeing happening in Israel today and in Iraq, what has happened in Ukraine, in Russia, in China, in America, the benefit that Africa has just over food only, food and water, by the way, because while they're dropping these bombs and nuclears on each other, they're contaminating water. They're contaminating the soil, so their food and their air. I'm not joking. If this war cracks on, the only safe place to live so far will be Africa and India. Now I'm speaking to you like a prophet now. If you want me to speak in tongues, I'm not a tongue-speaking prophet, but I'm telling the truth. The day they drop, if you hear that Russia or Israel or Iraq or North Korea or China has dropped a nuclear bomb, you must know that the food security production has been messed up for the next 150 years. Do your research. You in Africa, you have one of the biggest, largest water reserves in the world, fresh water, plus food. So please tell your presidents, don't get involved in war. Go to the fields and plow. Let's fill up our granaries with food. When they finish killing each other, they will come begging for food. And a hungry stomach does not know politics. I'm not joking. We will have white people as housemates in our houses.
Wow. 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 Wow.
You are the first one. You are the first one to hear this.
You really think so, Zed? You really think so?
I'm not thinking so. I'm saying the day.
Yeah, that was Joshua Maponga. They are not my words. And with Joshua Maponga, he's one of the thinkers of Africa. And Africa is a son of the soil. That is what he indicated to say, don't get involved into war. Focus on planting food. We have fresh water. And, you know, when you start growing up, you realize that, you know, actually Namibia, actually South Africa, actually Africa with our problems, we're actually the best place to be, especially where we are. Because when you look at people who are flocking to your continent, coming to look for fresh air, you will be shocked. You realize to say you have the gold and silver, but you are not able to see them. But maybe the best thing to do is for African young people and also African in general to make sure that they are very proud of being African. But you cannot be proud if you are not eating. That should be very clear and should be underlined to say you cannot be proud African if you are not economically empowered, if you are not if you are not happy. And happiness is not only happy based on comedy or based on you smiling because of a certain things have happened. Happiness in terms of economy is measured by your satisfaction of the present and also the future. And that should be really be a concern. And African leaders, you know, I was at a procurement tracker today. And, you know, I realized that, guys, we have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. And it's my hope that, as it was communicated by Meme Shafunda, revising procurement policy and amendment bill to say, really, institution should and must comply, especially when it comes to utilization of state funds and also finishing of projects on time. Because, really, the devil is in the details sometimes. We really just need to make sure that we read and comply. And to say, how can you have a standing act without enforcement in terms of compliance? And, you know, this could be also the reason that, you know, institutions, they start bleeding. They're bleeding funds. But that is communication. So you can engage us. You can call us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. That's why today I'm saying I'm listening to the African sons and daughters of the soil, especially moving forward. Good evening.
Oh, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good evening. How are you?
I'm well.
Okay.
Mm.
So today is our... Today's topic is very almost closer to the what we have been talking about.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to integration of systems or those laws or whatever that are there in place to make sure that Africa or Namibia or whoever benefits is benefiting. Because if you work in salary and go into a law...
Come again? You speak far. Can you come closer and state your point, please?
If you speak alone...
Yeah.
Or go it alone...
Mm.
That will not help you anything. So my vocabulary has always been at least to see how those systems are integrated. The market and things like that. People are saying that, of course, people are benefiting more on the war by killing people. But the other people...
Just hold on, hold on, hold on.
Egameno joma uyerere koko marungura kalishi ashike upsakadhi wa pau teknika oliliwo omkundu opashigwana upsakadhi wa paliko no hashivuru okuyamoshi para uhupiro uongeshefa washinimo mtumba wa Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvomao vigajo miongo mbalina hamano ikondo epangero mahangano gopa umwene uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe onetamu isanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete tekero esiko milongo mbali naga alisiko mbali naga nega apiriri mwavigalio milongo mbali naga mano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga ukoshoki wopo ungomba ano saiba hejin kene una oku ironge kithira omashongo koko marungura no marongo kekopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na iru inji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu ma akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukape wa ompi ito yom tugumwe awedhu wapo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo jom tumba wotungoka otaku kakarao VIP cyber gala dina nuyere ronji wa maisha angitho no mapura apuro kwa tathana nayo konoraje tatu imwe onda tuyatano omgoiheali nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarelepwe panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Yes?
Let me take just a minute to say what I wanted to say.
In final analysis. Yeah.
My analysis.
Yeah.
So are we actually also integrating the tools
which
to monitor those cyber crimes and also integrate our digital war mechanism into our what we are talking about. If we are to integrate those systems or economy and things like that, so Africa will be the answer, the future answer. And even now, because of those that billions of people that they are talking about, it's so much that people can really negotiate so well, so that we can be like they see Mabonga, only Mabonga.
Mm-hmm.
So that very soon we are able to, you know, even to employ those people actually, and to give them food when the war is ended now.
But yeah, how can you give somebody food if you cannot feed your children?
That's what we are advised to team up and make sure that our system are integrated.
Yeah, because that is just an advice to us to say we must focus on us. So because really, us feeding the world, we have been feeding it. Even if we are dying, do you know how many people are dying of hunger every month in Africa?
You see, that is the challenge. That's the problem that we need to overcome. By overcoming it is by at least putting those advice that you are getting, which we have also been saying here, that we need integrated system management or leadership or whatever. So if it's not, he's also speaking to the African states. We want to see them on individual basis. I think the doors are still open for him and for them. So I don't think this is credit.
You know what, Ne? Especially when you look at what Maponga has said, there is nothing that he said that African leaders did not say in terms of the intention.
Okay.
Yeah, there is actually nothing that was not said. And when we, for example, people are busy doing budget proportional bill analysis and contribution, there is actually nothing that was never said in terms of the intention, even if you take 5 years ago. The problem that we still have now and that we had for a very long time is implementation and tracking progress, because we say something, then we wait after 5 years, then we come say the same thing.
Don't focus on that area. If that is the big problem.
Yeah, that's why. That is.
War,
Come again?
About, do you need a law that talks about integration or implementations? Because there are also implementation action plans that goes with those strategic plans.
Mm.
So now, is it that what is the hindering us to implement those declaration and policies?
Because there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of factors. One of them is also that when you speak about strategic plans and all these things, you really get shocked, especially when you have an implemented strategic plan who did not contribute anything to that, or you just a document, or the person was not consulted. But we'll be able to look into that, especially tomorrow when we speak about public procurement and
that. Most of the stakeholders are also part of the meeting. Many a times, when you attend those meetings and all these things, stakeholders are just there, like the one that's distributor of this anti-corruption. We have been saying that, yes, you can also use the existing structure. People who are already employed. And those are the people who are giving you information. So use them, find a way of compensating them. It's not just... We have been seeing some of these things. The implementation of these things doesn't only rely on the little money that you get. You can explore many other avenues that can assist your work. That will implement the small budget that you have. So thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, it's 51 minutes past... past the hour of past the hour of 1800 hours, and there is a news here, especially South Africa and United States of America. I don't know what they did to each other. Don't really know what this economic powerhouse they did to each other, because when you look at the North America, US is economic powerhouse. When you look at the southern of Africa, or in Africa, South Africa is an economic powerhouse. What have happened recently is that, the US ambassador to South Africa has expressed negative comment or oppose the ruling on kill the Boer comments, and that has been debated in South Africa for not that long, especially in line with liberation struggle songs and all these things. But currently the Minister of International Relations from South Africa, that is Ronald Ramola, has demerged the United States ambassador. And in diplomatic words, when you are demerged, it's another way of you giving a final warning. Or it's another way of you being warned to say, you, hey, hello, hello, know your lane, understand your mode of operation. And in most cases, when you are demerged, it's like it's a formal disagreement from the government toward a certain diplomat who expressed a certain comment. And in most cases, this is shown as a final warning of the behavior of a diplomat. It's stated that South Africa has demerged the United States Ambassador Reo Bonzel over his kill the Boer comment, and that was stated by Ronald Ramora. And Ramora has also indicated that the ambassador has been summoned to explain his undiplomatic remarks, because there is a Geneva Convention on international relations and diplomacy where foreign service officials have to abide by when they are in those countries. They have to follow those rules, and you don't only need to follow those rules, but you are protecting also the interests of your country. Once you go out of those rules, you are demerged. That is it's a warning, and also you are called to explain. And what follow there, if you don't follow, you'll be declared as a persona non grata, or you'll be declared as not useful for service. and you'll be sent home. And that's what happened. But when you look at what have happened just not long ago, when South Africa has also expelled the ambassador of or charged the affair of Israel over his comment, it seems like Leonard Ramora and his director of international relations and cooperation, they are very serious this year. And I don't know if, you know, just something that is very critical. And I think it's a show of force. And one may also want to think to say, is the issue of tariffs also involved? Is it issue of having, you know, not really to say it's a revenge, but to say it's the issue of showing authority? Because when you look at the relationship between South Africa and U.S., it has not been good. And they've been opposing each other in a lot of things, starting from the court case of Palestine, coming to allegation of white genocide in South Africa, and also looking at Cyril Ramaphosa went to the U.S. to negotiate and also to please with Trump, but after all, also coming to G20, where Donald Trump did not attend and send very junior officials, and also coming to the handover of the instrument of power at the lowest office, at the director level. And you just see to say South Africa and US, when are they going to strengthen their diplomatic relations? When are they going to do that? But it's also showing that South Africa is also showing some forces, especially when it's coming to that relationship. But you can really see the tension. But looking into that, it has never happened. You will be able to see that you may be in a country, if an African diplomat has done something, there is mostly them who likely to be explained. But in recent years, you start to see Africa also picking up a pace to say, if we are complying with Geneva Convention on International Relations and Cooperations and the behaviors of diplomats, this is what we should do. And this is what we, you know, we should follow. You would also be able to see that there was a certain time where I think Dr. Peer, if someone, the ambassador, I think it's EU and Britain, to not involve in internal politics of the country. To say, come and explain to me because you are going out of the line. But, you know, those are things that are happening. But we're here to see what will happen after that summoning. And I don't know if Cyril is back into the country, but seems like Ramora is also disciplining and also calling people to order. Because really, an ambassador is an eye and ear of the president. You represent your state there and involving into state politics. And also going out of your diplomatic lanes, who also call you to be called to order. And he was demurred, and you don't know what will happen after being demurred, because when you are demurred, it's like a final warning, but it's a diplomatic way of saying what you did, we are not happy with it, you come and explain. Maybe you apologize. If you are still holding your ground, then you'll be declared persona non grata. And it's not a good thing, especially when relationships are being broken. It's not a good thing because the diplomacy is the last line of defense, particularly when it's coming to formal relations. And if you have somebody who behaves very well, representing the country very well, then it will spare the country from a lot of losses. Because if you have seen what has happened, also South African ambassador was also expelled from U.S. I think it's last year there. And there have been hot water between them, but we are yet to see what will happen moving forward after that demise. So, dear listeners, it's 59 minutes past the hour of 1800 hours, and that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow at Early Morning Scoop, and I'll leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team. Especially when I'll go offer or give the mic to you know, Naruvanda Kapate Katoka, and also You know, so, Uncle Fly, bye-bye for now. See you around. Sharp, sharp.